This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. We had a list of topics that I told you about last hour, but I don't know if we're going to get to any of them because we got to get these boomers straightened out. I'm Henry Reins.
I'm Mark Edge.
I'm a boomer.
And I'm a Gen X.
All you other people are even more screwed up right now. All right. We were working through the 15 things that are horrible, toxic about boomers. And we're being brutal to them, according to the author of the article, anyway. We just got off number three. The boomer getting mad that a homeless person has a smartphone and saying the older people don't understand how technology has grown cheap and how things have grown more expensive. That has we got to move on, but we got to finish this one up, too. You were saying, what about when someone asks you for money these days?
Well, I just don't.
As far as a person on the street.
Yeah, I just don't give money to panhandlers or anybody like that because it incentivizes the behavior. And, you know, what they should be doing, to my mind, is working and being productive. There is no productivity. The society doesn't get better from them standing on the side of the street asking for money. I get it. They've, you know, made a cascade of bad decisions that have put them in a little spot. And, yeah, maybe if they wanted to make good decisions, there's no evidence, by the way, that they're going to start. But if they wanted to make good decisions, they could get themselves out of that spot and some money would be helpful in that circumstance. But the likelihood that there's a confluence, a congruity of those things occurring is so low that I'm just not going to spend my money towards it. I'll be happy to get money towards the...
differentiate between the person that asks you for some money and the person on the side of the road asking for money?
No, I don't.
So I don't give money to the person that's on the corner with the sign, only on some rare occasion where they just look like physically they're in such pitiful shape that, you know, that's probably the only solution. But the thing is, if it was a good corner, somebody that wasn't in such pitiful shape would probably have kicked them off it by now.
Yeah, they're going to start working it because it's a job now.
Yeah.
A job with no productivity.
Well, they spend the money. But
well, it increases the velocity of money. Yes.
Yeah.
Like when George Bush told America to go shopping to support the Iraq War. Yeah, like that.
But if someone comes up to me and looks me in the eye and asks me for some money, I will usually give it to them. Then
I say, I don't have any money for you. I'm sorry.
Well. That's the difference between the selfish Gen Xer and the boomer with a heart of gold.
I thought it was a spine of rubber. Sorry.
All right. Well, that's.
I think that it's fair to say that housing price, you know, the housing is expensive, especially in some areas like California, where perhaps BuzzFeed is produced. You
know, one thing being the difference in our ages. Or the difference between any age, if you're 60 or 70 or 40 or 50, you different things are landmarks of your timeline. So whenever a modern person, whether it be a Gen Zer or a millennial, tells a boomer, you just don't understand how housing is expensive. They don't understand that I knew people probably in the late 70s and into the early 80s, they'd get mortgages at 18%. Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, they were, it was a husband and wife, and they had kids, and they needed a home, and so they overpaid, and they just hoped for the best. They paid an extreme interest rate because you had to get into a home, and... You know, it corresponded to renting too. I mean, if the if the home was costing a lot because of interest rates, then, you know, it was expensive to build apartments too. So if you were any place where it was growing, that was a situation. Or then there was also the other way, which is if you were in a city or town that was shrinking in population, like in the north, where a factory was closing down or the economy was contracting, you could couldn't sell your home. There was nobody wanted.
Right.
I remember.
I think there's still places like that, though. I mean, there's still places in America and around the world where you simply just can't sell the house.
Yeah, but we're talking about American boomers here. We're not talking about Nicaraguan boomers or Ethiopian boomers. But I remember the first time I went to Danville with Susan, which would have been the early 80s. So a lot of auto industry was up in that part of the country and had contracted. So down here, you know, they're complaining about, I got a 14% mortgage or I got an 18% mortgage or whatever it was. When we drove into Danville, one of the first signs I saw in front of a house was, we'll trade for a car. A home for a car. So I can get my butt out of this town. So I go somewhere where I can get a job and pay the 18% mortgage. So believe me, the boomers know about inflation because we lived through whatever the part of inflation that everybody says, inflation hasn't been this
like that since
40 years. Well, yeah, that was our youth.
Indeed.
Number four. And
okay.
I have to compliment you, Mark. I think this is the first time you've ever read my show prep that I sent you on the air.
Well, there you go. I just like it. I'm really excited about it.
I take that as validation and a compliment both. I'll let you do number five, but I'm going to do number four here.
Okay.
Four. Asking questions like these. And before I even get to that, I'm wondering if there's really more than one question in this line of about three. Another baby boomer at work looked at the tattoo on my arm and said, you know those are permanent, right? And I said no.
Well, isn't that clever? You said no. You didn't think your tattoos were permanent. Wasn't that a burn, sweet D?
I guess it was a generic asking questions like these. But no, like these implies that you're going to read two questions there.
Yeah,
that's another thing about boomers. They remember grammar rules. The English language. You know, do you have any tattoos, Mark?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But they're not visible outside of a T-shirt. So at the very least, I had the foresight to do that. And, you know, like I can take either side of this.
Or the spine like rubber to do that, maybe.
What's that?
The spine like rubber to do that, maybe.
I can see that a tattoo doesn't make somebody ineligible for the workforce, right? Like I wouldn't make that claim. On the other hand, it's not like somebody, probably a boomer, somebody who is now a boomer, told you, hey, you know, getting a tattoo that covers your hand or one on your forehead is a bad idea. People are going to judge you over it, and it's going to make it harder for you to get the best jobs. But, you know, people who want what they want when they want it without the consequences of it, you know, are just going to go ahead and do what they want to do, and then it's like, oh, but look, I'm bitter now.
Perhaps there would have been a consequence of not getting it, but I remember.
Oh, come on.
Well, let's do a little tattoo retrospective here. So, in the 60s, basically young people weren't getting tattoos. I don't remember tattoos being a hippie thing.
Now, bikers, you know, people in the Navy.
Right. You got those Southeast Asian tattoos and stuff like that. In the 70s, early to mid 70s, I still wasn't a thing. I don't remember at the disco seeing people with tattoos being emulated. But then starting in the late 70s is when you had some of the big hair rockers, and some of them would have a couple tattoos on their arm, you know, like Motley Crue. Okay. And who else? Anyway. I saw that. And then
I think tattoos started to pick up in the late 80s.
Well, the punk movement had more tattoos. And you also had the different color hair that people had, and they had piercings in places that they hadn't had before, and it's like safety pins. You know, the amazing thing to me is now that was, like, it happened before 79 because it started in England. But, like, I went to the University of Florida in 79, and that's where I saw my first real punk rockers. And they, you know, that seemed edgy at that time. But now, 40 plus years later, I see young people with multicolor hair and weird, you know, unusual piercings and tattoos. But the multicolor hair, I'm like, is that supposed to make you edgy? Because you really look like the boomer I saw in Publix with her hair dyed pink.
One wonders. And by the way, when I was young, I remember this. This is one of the few things I remember that you told me when I was young. When I was young, you saying something about the long-haired kids with the combs in the back of their pockets, you know, that they should get their own style. That they were just biting off of your generation. Yeah. So you're at least consistent on this, is that we need to do new and different things. But I would say, just as a small counter, as the lightest counter I can give, is what else can they do at this point? I mean, the most freaky things they do are, you know, rather permanent looking. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what one does if one wishes to rebel now. That's both unique and rebellious.
Haven't you seen the pictures of, like, the people with the prosthetic horns, or they try and get plastic surgery to make themselves look like a lizard, or they split
them? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that has not really caught on in a big way.
Let's hope not.
But
here's what I recommend, Henry. Go ahead and do anything that's not permanent. You know, go ahead and wear the funny clothes, grow the hair out, don't get the tattoos, don't get those big barrel ear piercings that stretch your earlobe out. You know, by God, don't do anything in your face or neck.
Put a gauge in your earlobe.
Yeah, the gauge, that's what that's called, yeah. Those are my suggestions for...
Glad I could help you get it with the kids, Mark.
That's right.
Well, on the other hand, though, I see people with the really well-done sleeves on their arm and all the tattoos.
Yep.
I mean, they look great, but it's like, do you realize your skin is going to turn to crepe paper? And it's going to be, all that stuff is just going to be like an old, wrinkly newspaper. Well, nobody knows what a newspaper is anymore. But believe me, when they get old and wrinkly, they weren't anything you wanted to be wearing as skin.
But your skin's going to do that anyway, and so what difference does it make if there's a tattoo, you know, a barely legible tattoo on it?
It's going to be more gross, believe me.
Okay.
I used to, at the doctor's office, first doctor's office I managed, this would have been like in the say, 95, 96, so 50 years after World War II, and you know, to get these men that were veterans coming in with like the old wartime tattoos, like you mentioned, and the hula girl was now just a blob,
just blob
ink. Yeah. So I can't imagine that it's going to
say what you want about the Gen X's tribal tattoos. At least you know what they are in 50 years.
You know whose fault this was, though, now that I think about it. It all comes back to the time machine, too.
Oh, gosh.
Remember how we had tattoo magazines before? The ones that, it used to be they'd come in looking for Easy Rider or something like that for tattoos. And then we started carrying the magazine that had the Yakuza tattoos and stuff. And there would be the ones across their back, and it would look like they were Samoan professional wrestlers like Roman Reigns or The Rock. And they have those on their arms and stuff. I do remember the first visual facial tattoo still that I ever saw. It was probably in the, right around 1990. And I think it had that look of, definitely had a look of an amateur where a guy had put a skull on his forehead.
Mm.
And that was definitely, in 1990, that was definitely like, you don't ever really want a job, do you?
Right.
That's just not anybody you want around yourself or your family.
And now face tattoos are relatively common. I mean,
yeah.
I had a guy come to my house my mom's house trying to sell solar with a tattoo on his face. Boy, that wouldn't have flown back in the day.
All right. Well, that's showing our age. But I will say, if it gets you a significant other of your choice, go for it. I mean, now, it's working for you.
If your lady is attracted to face tattoos, you need a new lady, not a new face tattoo.
You should not date someone whose tattoos cost more than the car they drive. That is my rule of thumb right there. Okay, you want to take number five? Well, we still got quite a bit of time in this segment.
The lack of accountability. And then here we go with the post. Okay, but the thing about, quote unquote, we didn't start the fire, aside from its evergreen memeability, is that he was trying to say every generation of young people, he I presume is Billy Joel, every generation of young people resent the mess their predecessors left them, but some boomers took the moral of the story to be, nothing has ever been our fault. So.
Okay. Before we get to the actual essence of that, so we didn't
know
the fire was a early Billy Joel video from the early part of the video music era.
And right. It's one that has this sort of staccato list of sort of news items pre-1983.
Characters, you sort of saw them age through with iconic things from the times of the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. But evergreen memeability.
Memeability, yeah.
Yeah, now this is actually from at Claire Willett on her Twitter handle. From August 23rd, they found this one. And I have to say, Claire Willett, whatever age you are, you do have a unique self-pretentiousness about you. Evergreen memeability. Yes, the very clever use of the words there that I have no... That she made word salad out of just two words.
I thought they fit together nicely, but, you know...
Well, I understand why we didn't start the fire would happen.
Isn't it memeability?
What's the evergreen part of that?
Evergreen means it never dies, right? It's always good. So... I don't know. I guess she's trying to say that the "we didn't start the fire" is somehow, you know, it has evergreen memeability.
Using
you can always
reference
use this.
Of a song 40 years old by a performer who's pushing 80 is not evergreen. Claire, sorry, I'm sorry. I cut you off a little bit there, Mark, but.
I don't know that she's necessarily talking about the "We Didn't Start the Fire" as the song, but the sort of the concept that that history has threads to it, right? That it runs through, and you know, I don't know the boomers that have said that nothing has ever been our fault. I don't see that part, but
I think boomers, when they were the age of Gen Zers. Said their parents had screwed up everything.
Yes. Don't trust anyone over 30.
That repeats over and over again.
Yeah. How about that for something that didn't age well? Don't ever trust anybody over 30.
Yeah. Somehow we went from...
Steal this book.
Anyone over 30, which for those of you, that was a thing back in the 60s during the height of the anti-Vietnam War and height of civil rights protests. Don't trust anybody over 30 to... Two decades later, the greatest generation of all time.
Isn't the greatest generation the...
World War II generation.
World War II, yeah.
World War II generation.
I see what you're saying, yeah. So don't trust them. Now they're the greatest generation. All right.
Hi.
I don't know. I feel like this one rings hollow. I don't find there's much of a critique in it.
Thinking that we should all be struggling. One of the most toxic boomer mindsets we have to change is that more struggle equal more growth. An unnecessary workload only burns people out and does the opposite. Well, thank you, at Russell Matthew, you slacker, you. I mean, this really goes against a lot of traditional Western culture. I mean, you can look in the book of James, if you would, in the Mark, about perseverance. James talks about that, and he knew about that stuff because he was Jesus' half-brother. And
presumably.
Well, he was, you know, they didn't have...
Is he the author of the book that we call James, though? That's the question.
Pardon me?
Is he the author of the book we call James?
Well, and he made out pretty good whatever relation he was, because he got pretty high up in the temple based on his relationship.
Yeah, we don't know who necessarily wrote individual books because they didn't start worrying about provenance for 300 years. But look, regardless of it all, I think struggles of value. And I got to say that as I age, I grow more and more grateful for the struggles that I've endured. You know, I feel like they've created the person that I am. I get that when you're in the middle of those struggles, all you want is for them to go away. You're like, I've stacked up enough good decisions here that this struggle should go away. But we don't get to say how long, you know, how long it takes for the consequences of bad decisions to go away. And, you know, the best thing I can say is the earlier you start stacking up good decisions, the better your life is going to be.
And I would say to at Russell Matthew, Russ, you might want a little more self-reflection that might help you. There may be a reason people are saying you need to struggle a little bit more. Get out of the basement, Russell.
Maybe
he's done well for himself. Maybe it comes easy to Russ. And maybe he should have a little more empathy for other people.
There's a certain industry in just telling people what they want to hear, you know. So
is there?
Well, there is.
How do we plug into that?
Well, I'm terrible at it. I can tell you that much.
Well, my screen just went all gray. Typical boomer stuff.
Maybe you should get your grandson to help you.
My who?
No, what? One day.
I got my screen back, son.
On your own.
Yes. By the way, I was the one that knew what the word gauge meant.
I know what gauge means.
Sure you did. All right, we'll find out.
Forgot.
We're going to find out lots about what Mark knows in the next...
I didn't start the fire of what gauge means.
We are only on number 7 here, and... I'm going to have to rework those topics at the top of the thing. We just got one topic this week, but we'll do our best. You're listening to Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The Food and Drug Administration announced Friday that they will be delaying their decision on whether to issue a total ban on menthol cigarettes, which was supposed to be determined by the end of August. The FDA initially considered a ban on menthol tobacco products during the Obama administration after smoking opponents began calling for action in 2009 when Congress exempted menthol from a ban on flavored cigarettes. The August jobs report saw the unemployment rate tick up to 3.8%, while the economy added 180,000 jobs, slightly more than analysts expected. At the White House on Friday, President Biden says the report demonstrates the economy has recovered from the coronavirus pandemic lockdowns.
People are coming off the sidelines, getting back to their workplaces.
Tim Berg, USA News.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reins.
And I'm Mark Edge.
It's a Boomer Gen Xer day because we have gone... I feel like I'm going into Boomer mode because I'm not... People, if I just pause for a second, they're going, uh-huh, uh-huh. It's happening to them. The dementia, the forgetfulness is all coming into it. We knew it about that, Boomer. But... for those of you who somehow are just joining us right now and haven't gotten the preceding hour and a half of broadcast excellence, can we use that term now since Rush Limbaugh? He used to use that all the time, but I really think we could co-opt that.
I think that that's for each listener to decide if broadcast excellence is occurring.
Well, I don't know about that. He didn't let listeners decide. He used to tell the callers that you're there to make him sound good.
Well, he's right for himself.
He was right. He doesn't sound
99.44% of the time, just like Ivory Soap.
All right. Anyway, we've been going over this, the things that are wrong with boomers, and it's from BuzzFeed News. We've been up and down this for almost two segments here, and we're only on number six. We're just getting ready to go through number seven. But just to quickly review, we're not going to rehash all this, but these were the first six things that boomers suck about. Not they suck doing, that boomers just suck, and here's the first six things that came off the BuzzFeed list of why they suck. The fact that they want kids to play outside, but hate when kids play it outside. I don't know how that got to number one on the list. Two, thinking money doesn't solve things. Three, getting mad at things like this, and we won't rehash that, I said, so I will keep my word because I'm a word-keeping boomer. Asking questions like these, and it was an example of a stupid question, the lack of accountability. So they that was That isn't for the non-boomers lack accountability. The boomers are saying that they lack accountability for what's going on. It's someone else's fault.
Right. Well, this is it, basically it's the traditional the way things are today is the fault of the generation that has the most power. And I think it's fair to say that if you look at the age of politicians, that boomers have the most power. So they're blaming everything that has occurred today on the boomers is kind of the premise.
Right. And the boomers, because there isn't many people older than the boomers, but when they had their chance, they would blame it on their parents' generation.
Sure. And I'm sure their parents' generation blamed it on the generation before.
Yeah, because ever since Tom Brokaw renamed them the greatest generation, thinking that we should all be struggling is number six.
Yeah.
And, really, we don't have to address that one because we're on to number seven now. And number seven really incorporates number six, in my opinion. Number seven is like everyone should just work harder. Now, the syntax there was not mine. It's whoever put this article together at BuzzFeed. So now I'm saying it to Mark without stumbling over the syntax. Like, everyone should just work harder. That's what's wrong with the world.
Now. Right. So it's here's their evidence is boomers, whenever millennials and Gen Zers refuse to grin and bear it, work five jobs, pinch pennies, and live a life that makes them miserable, all to experience an American dream that barely existed to begin with. And then they have some kind of evidence from Twitter. And
that's Flirt Cobain. That on Twitter.
Yeah, that's very clever. You know, what, for whatever it's worth. But yes, it's a crying woman in a bathroom, that apparently, you know, whenever everybody refuses to just work harder. And, you know, I've been accused of being a boomer. I'm not. I'm a Gen X, but, and by the way, I don't like the term Gen Zer. If I can register my complaint with BuzzFeed right now, you should not name a generation after a generation. That's not fair. They should have their own thing. So Zoomers seems to work, and iGen is another one that was proffered at one point. But I don't think Gen Z is a fair thing to use. Anyway, as a Gen Xer, for those that don't know, I spent 8.5 years in prison in Florida, and when I got out, I basically had a choice. I could do what the vast majority of ex-convicts were going to do and get the results that the vast majority of ex-convicts were going to get, or I could work my ass off and do my best and take advantage of the advantages that I had, and it's all worked out pretty well for me. And so, therefore, what I would say is generally, work harder is good advice. Can you work yourself into some kind of mental health crisis? Sure. But it seems like mental health crises are a lot more common now than they were when I was a kid.
Well, I think that is a perfect example of why I said number six is incorporated at number seven. Because if anybody can still remember what you said 10 seconds ago about coming out of prison and working harder, struggle equals more growth was number six. And
yep.
You must have.
I'm consistent here.
I talked to you occasionally, not very frequently back in those days. It's not like you were hiding a cell phone in your vicinity back in those days. So you had to get on you called collect, right? You
didn't. I would call you collect from a cell phone, from a payphone. Yes. In prison.
So the few times we talked, definitely sounded like a struggle there.
It was a struggle, and, when I had this little plan, I came up with a daily plan that I was going to do something every day that would help to grow my mind, my body, my spirit, and my pocketbook. And so, you know, in a lot of cases I was, you know, taking classes, trying to learn how to do things that for instance, I can rebuild a carburetor. I don't know that they got those things on cars anymore, but I learned it in the automobile.
Well, you may find an old lawnmower.
Next class. Right. I could take it apart. You are the Jets. Whatever.
No wonder you're mistaken for a boomer. You are the walking example of this. Because if we roll it back to number five, boomers complaining about the lack of accountability. You got the accountability down.
Yeah.
You got the struggle down. You got the work hard down. Let me back this up to number four. Well, I ask you stupid questions. You don't ask stupid questions, but it did become a great part of your future career in radio.
Asking stupid questions. It's true.
Getting mad at things, thinking money doesn't solve things. I don't think that followed you through.
No. That's definitely mine. I will take that. Because here's the God's honest truth. You give $100,000 to everybody out there who thinks that money's going to solve their problems. And that's almost everybody.
You didn't give them enough.
Right. You never will give them enough. You give them $100,000, and they will spend it on whatever they think they've got a problem with. They'll spend the rest, and then give them a year, they will be broke again.
That's a poor example.
I'm telling you.
A much bigger number.
People are in debt because of their lifestyle and their belief systems, not because of anything else.
Somebody $1 billion, they're going to be hard-pressed to spend it.
Where am I going to get $1 billion for every American?
Well, why don't you struggle a little and work hard?
Because the people that I would have to get working for me won't do it.
See, you Gen Xers, you always got an excuse.
That's right. Why don't we just raise the minimum wage to, you know, $1 billion an hour? That'll solve everything.
Mark, no, just don't. You know, you're just making these silly examples. You've made a statement. I called you. I held you accountable for your statement. And you struggled to come up with the answer. Let's move on. But before we move on... just the part that you read from this. This was part of the Mark read part of the tweet from Flirt Cobain, which actually his ex handle, which used to be your Twitter handle, so his ex Twitter handle is @mad_lines. So I don't know how Flirt Cobain and Mad Lines comes together there, but it did somehow. You know, refused to grin and bear it. Worked five jobs. So, all right, Ray, you're making it a ridiculous, not you, but Flirt Cobain. You know, nobody works five jobs unless they're five part-time jobs. And it's hard to find a penny these days. They don't.
and if you do find it, it's probably not worth bending over and picking up.
Well, unless the head is up. The head is up, it means it's good luck. But
that's right.
You know, this is a boomer thing of me. When the person that's at the counter making change just assumes that you don't want the change, whereas if they just said, you want to skip the change, if they acknowledge that I had a choice in the matter,
yeah,
I would let them keep the change in their cash register. But it's that assumption. All right.
When I think about the modern American 1 cent piece, I think we got to get rid of this thing. It's just a waste of everybody's time and energy. It costs like I can't remember. I haven't looked it up recently, but it costs like 5 cents to produce a penny, and that's outrageous. I mean, we just need to retire this thing. Let's just round all the totals up or down or whatever.
It costs 5 cents to produce a penny.
Well, how much does it
use the word manufacture, not produce?
Penny.
You
presume I can spell manufacture.
People never pitch pennies anymore either. Remember? Did you ever do that?
To make a penny, it costs 2.72 cents in 2022.
To manufacture a penny?
Yes, this is according to coinnews.com. Penny costs 2.7 cents to make in 2022. A nickel costs 10.41 cents. There you go.
All right. Well, we'll get down a deep rabbit hole if we follow that too far, because we still We still haven't gotten to number 8 yet on the why boomers suck list. Here. Forgetting today's cost of living. This is from Hush Jared, who actually on his Twitter handle, or her Twitter handle is at Hush Jared, which there's some symmetry to that. Boomers have the nerve to lecture millennials on financial responsibility when in 1985 the average rent was $520. The average worker earned money for nothing and the typical chick was free.
Is that what they said? I always thought it was checks for free.
No, come on.
No, seriously, that's what I always thought it was. Well, I mean, he was talking about money for
talking
nothing.
About the Dire Straits song.
Yes, the Dire Straits song.
And if we had our audio set up better, I would have that queued up to play. But that's not the case.
I don't know, by the way, on our AM radio stations, if all of them pay their ASCAP BMI fees, so what the problem might be of playing any given song. So
I don't know.
I just don't know.
No, I just didn't have it thought about and queued up. It's not their audio problem. It's the audio here that takes a lot of extra preparation to have ready for broadcast quality, because we have high standards here. It Reigns an Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. And if we don't, there's someone we know that does have high standards that's going to listen to this and say, oh, that sucked. The average rent was $520.
So I'm looking here at just the last several years, rent inflation on average across the United States. Now, this doesn't affect your specific area, but this is sort of a generalization. Rent inflation was 4.5%. Wage inflation was almost 6. In 2021, rent inflation was 2.25%. Wage inflation was 4.5%. Now, in 2020, rent inflation was higher than wage inflation, but not in 2019. It was the same in 2018. In 2017, rent was slightly higher. I think that this... 2016, rent inflation was 3.77% versus wage inflation, which was 1.13%. So that was a big disparity. But by and large, I don't think this is a valid concern.
Well,
because it sounds like rent's about the same.
The underlying premise of this requires you to think that boomers don't pay rent or don't have housing costs. And that was not the case. So, believe me, if boomers are paying rent, they're bitching about the rent and the cost of the rent.
Sure.
And if they're buying a new house, they're bitching about the interest rates and the cost of housing. Now, if they're sitting in the house that they have owned for, 5 years or more, they think the world's in a great place. And
yeah.
So.
Especially, there seems to be a geographically centered complaint for those who live in the Los Angeles metro and the San Francisco metro that they think the rest of us should give a damn about. And in my opinion is, if you don't like it there, move. But nonetheless, their concern appears to be old people bought their houses for a number that seems very, very low now. And I have to pay a number that anyone would consider high, and that's true, in order to live here. And I've got a right to live where I want to live, so, so hear me cry. And I don't know. I mean, why does everybody want to live in San Francisco and Seattle and
Florida.
Portland?
Florida has had
Florida. I don't think it has
housing inflation. Over the last, ever since COVID, for sure, and really before that. But
certainly the coastal areas, but I mean, you can go to, there's places in Florida you can go and pay cheap rent. And go to Arcadia.
No.
Okay.
I believe I've lived all over the state. It is cheaper in Arcadia, but it's expensive for Arcadia. It's cheaper.
Well, sure, it's expensive for Arcadia.
But you don't have any, you don't have the same wages in Arcadia as you do here on the coastal area.
The reality is, and always has been, that if you want to be closer to whatever the thing is you want to be closer to, you're going to have to pay more rent to do it.
Well, unless you want to be close to a field full of cows.
And there's that.
You need to change what you want to be near.
That's right. You want to be, you know what the secret to happiness is? Want what you've got.
Oh, you Gen Xers, they just know what the secrets are. All right, number nine. You want to do number nine?
Oh, I'd love to. Number nine, giving outdated job advice. Somebody please make a reality TV show where boomers apply to jobs with the wildly outdated advice they unsolicitedly give millennials, Gen Zers. I'm begging. This is from Allison Perry at Allison Perry Art on Twitter. So, I mean, okay, so I'm going to bring up this example. It gets used on the internet a lot, and I take a stance on it that is, I think, worth, you know, expounding on. Yeah. So, yes, if you cut out that Starbucks mocha latte frappe whatever and the $6 that it costs you every day and just brew some coffee and bring it in a thermos, you will, and you do this over time, you take the money and then you invest the money, yes, that will be worth something. And financial advice that is worth something is worth something. Use it. You know, but a lot of people are like, well, my life sucks, so I'm just going to enjoy this moment with this sugary beverage. And it's just a series of decisions like that. If you're willing to spend the $7 on the, you know, the frappe or whatever, then you're also willing to make a lot of other sort of poor financial choices. And then that eats up your discretionary income every week and you have nothing to invest.
But that isn't what they were talking about on this.
They said wildly outdated advice.
No.
Jobs.
Outdated advice for applying for a job.
Keep the money from your job and don't spend it on dumb stuff. How's that?
Yeah, I want to know what the outdated advice for applying for a job is.
Probably putting together a resume. I mean, I don't know. I haven't applied for a job in a very long time.
Well, I want to know. And
it's not the greatest article. It's just supposed to be hating on boomers.
This wasn't a boomer advice, but I got a piece of advice from an article of something relevant to searching for a job. This is someone that used to, now it's done by AI even more so, but just recently someone that worked in the employment field, the seeking employment field, said that if you submit an email that was either a yahoo.com or like hotmail.com, they would automatically disqualify.
Forget AOL. Yeah.
And
that's pretty awful.
Well, especially
if you're getting enough applications, if you're getting enough applications to a job, right, like you need to be able to filter in some manner. I've heard attractive women say things like, I judge a man in the first 5 seconds based on his shoes. Now, that's a terrible way to choose. But if you have a lot of suitors, you've got to come up with some system for filtering.
All right. I'm not just throwing out dead air there. I'm trying to absorb that, Mark. what would be an alternative? I mean, shoes are a way of filtering without having to make eye contact.
I don't understand it either. I don't ask me to defend this particular practice. I mean, you know, historically women have liked men that can make them laugh. But well, what's really the benefit in that? I suppose it's less likely that you know they'll commit violence against you. But by how much? I don't know.
Which one?
Are comedians less likely to beat their wives?
The woman looking at your shoes or the... yeah, you really lost me on that one. But I do want to go back to the email thing. Because I would just like to say something to the... This is not... Well, people will call it a boomer thing anyway. But this is not a boomer thing. This is actually when you have a better product. Yahoo Mail... that you actually can have multiple tabs of multiple emails open. Like if you look at your browser on a computer and you have your tabs across the top, you can go from one website to another without opening and closing a website, which seems common, and it is common now. But it's not common in emails. I have not figured out how you can open up a window with Gmail on each email that you open. You can open up in a separate window, but you can't open it up in a separate tab within your email program. But Yahoo is the only one where you can have those multiple tabs open, and you can go back and forth from three or four different emails, which I find very convenient.
Well, it sounds like a feature to me, too. I think that the very fact that we're talking about email puts us in the boomer category, though. Nobody uses email to converse any longer.
Well, they evidently use it to disqualify you for your job.
Yeah, once you see it, sure. I see that. But here's what I want. I want some kind of app that takes all my messaging programs and puts them in one thing so I don't have to have Signal and WhatsApp and Telegram and, you know, all these different messaging apps. It's confusing. If you're going back to look for something that was sent to you, which I shudder at the notion, but people send me things all the time on messaging apps, and I need to find that thing. Well, was that sent in? Was it sent in WhatsApp? Was it sent in Telegram? Was it in Signal? I can't remember, and that's very frustrating.
That sounds like a place for innovation, and that's the kind of innovation that people that have a little bit of experience in their life have ideas about. But we'll come back with more great ideas, like WhatsApp versus Telegram versus Yahoo email. On the other side of these messages, you're listening to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.